Let us pray. Lord God, you look with compassion upon all the needs of your people. Grant your grace to all whom you have called to be sharers of your works of service, that even as the beloved physician Saint Luke was called to use his talents to your glory, so may we use our gifts in joyful service unto even the least of your brethren. Amen. The text on which the sermon is based this morning comes from the epistle lesson that's appointed for St. Luke's Day from the second letter to Timothy. We read again selected verses from the lesson in Jesus' name. Please rise. Where St. Paul writes, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the one who blesses us with gifts, so that we might then use them in service to one another and to him, dear fellow redeemed. Because his name is only mentioned three times in the New Testament, most of what we know about St. Luke, we gather from inference, from really good guesses, and from tradition, from stories. The Greek in Luke's gospel is probably the best of all the evangelists, of all the gospel writers. Sometimes it's even poetic. And from this, it's a safe bet to say that Luke was very literate, that he was quite well read, and that he liked to write and was good at it. Because his gospel tends to be chronological, Luke likes to add historical notes like who was emperor at the time, likes to describe places and people. Luke is often viewed as an historian, even by secular historians. Luke is regarded as being very accurate and very good. The fact that his gospel contains the song of Zechariah, the song of Mary, and the song of the angels, the Gloria in Excelsis, that's caused many to speculate that Luke was also a musician, since he seems to have an appreciation for these songs. There's even a tradition that says that St. Luke was a painter as well. In fact, in many Christian traditions, Luke is the patron saint of artists. But even with his name mentioned only three times, there are two things we know about Luke for certain. St. Paul refers to him as the beloved physician in Colossians 4. And so we know that Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. What's interesting about this for us is that we tend to think of doctors as having a high social standing. But this was not the case in the Roman world. Many doctors in the Roman world were Greeks, and they were slaves, or they had been slaves. And so it's very likely that Luke was of a lower social rank than many of the others. He certainly was a lower social rank than Paul, who was a Roman citizen. Perhaps Luke was probably more on the social level of someone like Peter, who was a Jewish fisherman, or ironically, Luke's social status was probably about the same as that of Jesus. Perhaps it's because he was a doctor and of lower social status that Luke likes to highlight people's suffering and how Jesus especially addresses the suffering of those who are usually outcasts or usually looked down upon in society. And the other thing we know about for certain with Luke is that he was a Christian. Luke was a person who had heard the gospel message and had come to believe in Jesus as the one who had freed him from his sin, who had healed him of his disease of sin. And all these things about Luke tend to combine into a picture that at first glance does not seem to reflect most of us. After all, most of us are not doctors. I'm pretty sure none of us were slaves. Most of us don't think of ourselves as being masters of literature or talented musicians or as painters. Some of us like to think we share some of those things in common with Luke, but very often hearing that summary of Luke's life, most people think to themselves that Luke had far more talents and was much more special than we are, and that the only thing we appear to have in common with him is our faith, that we, like St. Luke, through the gospel, have come to believe in Jesus as the one who has freed us from our sin, who has healed us of our disease of sin. But the fact is, of all the saints, of all the people that we tend to note on these days in church, Luke is very likely the one in whom you have the most in common with. Luke is one of the few saints in the Lutheran calendar who is not a pastor. Luke was not an apostle. He was not a missionary. He was not a preacher. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these are all remembered as evangelists and apostles. But when it comes to Luke, we just remember him as St. Luke the Evangelist. And we call him the Evangelist not because he was a missionary, because he went out and preached, but we call him Evangelist because he wrote the gospel that bears his name. So in other words, Jesus may have called Peter and James and John from their nets. He called Matthew from his tax booth and from his ledger books. But he does not call Luke from his medicine or from his bandages. Jesus calls Luke to faith, but Luke remains a physician. He accompanies St. Paul on missionary journeys, but he doesn't go with Paul as a fellow preacher. He goes as a doctor. He goes as Paul's companion and as his friend to keep him company, to encourage him in his work. Jesus called Luke to remain in the profession that was suited to his gifts and talents, and then to continue using those talents to the glory of God and to the welfare of his neighbor, of the people who are around him, which is just like you. When you were created in your mother's womb, God blessed you with a mixture of gifts and talents that are unique to you. And even before you were created in your mother's womb, Jesus died for your sins. He called you by faith through the gospel. But one of the things that we are reminded of whenever we remember St. Luke is that the call to faith is not some sort of automatic call to what we would often call ministry, to some sort of service that is especially churchly or especially used in church or for the church. God does not say to everyone when they come to faith, okay, now you're a Christian, so now I need you to be a missionary. Now I need you to act like a pastor. Now you need to become a person that tells someone every day about Jesus, someone who is always preaching or teaching my word. Because not all of us have the gifts or the talents that are necessary for that work. The talents of most of us are better used in other professions. And God knows this. And so he calls us to serve there instead. Because while the call of the gospel is not some sort of automatic call to ministry, it's always a call to serve, to use your gifts and talents to the benefit of all of those people who are around you. Lutherans especially have long recognized this. And we even give a special name to it because it's so important. We call it a doctrine. We call it the teaching about vocation. The teaching that says each one of us has special talents and gifts, and that we are to use those gifts in service to our neighbor. And it tells us, too, that as we use these gifts, sometimes they're appreciated and valued by people, but oftentimes they are not. Oftentimes we have the same experience that Paul did in the epistle lesson for today, where people did not appreciate what he had done. They took advantage of him. They despised his gifts. And we know what that's like. We know what it's like to use our gifts and talents and to have them not appreciated at times, or to have them looked down upon, or to have people think that our gifts are not as important as the gifts of others. Sometimes we think that ourselves. But it'll be said in many Christian traditions, Luke is considered the patron saint of artists, but perhaps as Lutherans, we should think of him as the patron saint of vocation. Because what Luke reminds us is that all God-pleasing professions are blessed, and then they're enriched by our faith. That God does not want you somehow to take the gifts and the talents you have and remold them so that they are more pastor-like or more teacher-like or more churchly. God does not tell you to take your talents and gifts and always be using them now in church or for the church. But rather, he wants you, like Luke, to take the talents and gifts you have, use them to the best of your ability, and then in the place where he has put you. And in that way, our gifts and talents always bring glory to his name, and they then bring a benefit to those around us. God then blesses our work and bestows upon it a greater importance than we can ever see or we can ever imagine. It's not unusual to hear people who are not pastors or who are not teachers to speak of their ministry. And we can understand that properly. It always makes me a little bit uncomfortable when I hear people who aren't pastors talk about that. And oddly, the reason it makes me uncomfortable is because somehow it seems to elevate the work, the church work, to a place that it really doesn't belong. As if the work of the pastor or teacher is somehow, it's more important than any other work, or somehow it's more God-pleasing than any other work that can be done. And so therefore, to make my work important, I need to call it a ministry, or I need to show how it's being used in service to the church. But as important as the work of pastors is, as important as the work of Christian teachers is, something equally important is going on every time a Christian goes to their office, or to their desk, or to their shop, or to their job site, every time they go to the nursery, every time they feed their children, because now they are carrying with them something better than their skill, no matter how skillful they might be. They carry with them the love of Christ. They carry with them the fruit of the gospel. We're showing how Jesus has freed us from selfishness of serving only ourselves, in jealousy of being envious of the gifts that others have or things around us, and instead has freed us now to deal with our neighbor with forgiveness and love, even for those times when our gifts are not appreciated or valued. How we've been freed to serve others the way that Christ served us. We may not always have the special talents or gifts that we see in other people. We may wonder sometimes if our gifts are as valuable or as important as people of other people we see who seem to have many gifts and whose work always seems to be noted by others. We might not be scholars or eloquent speakers. We may not even be physicians. But all of us are called to the cross of Jesus. We've all been told that our sins are forgiven. We've been called to faith in Jesus, and so like St. Luke, we're called to humble service to those around us, to use the gifts that God has given, and as we do that, the Lord stands by and strengthens us, reminding us that we are never anonymous to Jesus. We are always valued by him. And through our work, all see the love of Jesus and how we too are rescued and brought safely into his heavenly kingdom. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. We sing the selected remaining stanzas of a hymn.